This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast. Radiothon is now on and we need your support. This is our one time a year that we ask you to support Joy so we can continue being a voice for the LGBTI community of Melbourne and beyond. By becoming a member, renewing your membership, or donating to Joy, you will keep out loud and proud LGBTI voices on air and on podcast. And around 50 volunteers work hard around the clock to make them available. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Then we hope you head to joy.org.au to find out how you can support us this radiothon. We still need Joy. Your voice. Your radio station.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Mike Kennedy is a Special Projects Manager from Palliative Care Victoria. I hope I got that right.
Yep,
Mike.
Yep.
Mike's very well known to our community. Mike was formerly our CEO of the VAC.
Executive Director.
Oh, is that right?
Is that right? Executive Director?
Executive Director, yeah. They keep changing. Every time the job changes, they get a new title. So you have to think about what it was when you were there. Yeah.
Think of all the money, you know, they spend on business cards.
Well, you have to get a new manager, a new business card. It'd be a bit tacky if you just crossed my name out.
Macca, you're being unnecessarily tight now. Get off. You know, pull your finger out. So, Mike, it's quite a shift. You've moved from the HIV/AIDS space into the palliative care space.
Not a shift at all. I started as a home care volunteer back in the 1980s in Queensland. That's how I got into HIV.
Wow.
And so it's kind of full circle, really, that having moved out of being a volunteer and being on boards into paid roles in Canberra and here, having decided I wasn't going to work and then deciding consulting wasn't what I wanted to do, saw a job came up that was about working with people who essentially a lot of them wanted to die at home, which was the model we put together in the HIV sector back in the 1980s. Yeah. So it really is beginning and the end, full circle, really.
Wow. And as part of your brief, you're dealing with a whole range of subpopulation groups, and we talked about some of those off-air, so the cold groups, Aboriginal groups, and LGBTI people. So tell us, specifically, because we are an LGBTI radio station, what are some of the specific issues for LGBTI people, their families and their communities?
I think some of them are the ones that are there with any kind of service provision. So, and whether it's dealing with Aboriginal issues or cultural diversity issues, are the services capable of delivering patient-centred care to people? So, for example, when we started doing the COLD project and said, why are people accessing palliative care in lower numbers than you'd expect they would? There were two reasons. They didn't know about it, and that's general in the community. But the ones who did were also suspicious, as a lot of LGBTI people are, about whether or not the service is going to be able to accommodate them and do what they want. So we hear, you'd be well aware, we hear in the health sector all the time about person-centred care. But person-centred care means different things if you're LGBTI. And so there's a couple of issues that I think are around in the palliative care space that are different for people from our community. For men our age, I say, looking at you and looking at Macca.
Yeah. Not Paul, our panellist.
Paul's a child. Yeah. those of us who are now starting to see friends die from old age type issues, I know that I didn't properly deal with the accumulated number of deaths from the 1980s and 1990s. They happened, we went to funerals, we pulled ourselves together, we went on, and then there was good news from 1996 on, people started living. But I went to a funeral of a friend who died of a heart attack totally unrelated to HIV about a year or so ago. And as we were all the same group of us standing there at the crematorium looking around and going, wow, actually, this is the first time in 10 years we've done this.
Yeah.
And what came with it was a whole bunch of stuff. And that was someone who was in our friendship network. That wasn't a partner. That wasn't. And so those issues around bereavement are very different, I think. The other issue, and it's my new bandwagon, is about advanced care planning.
Yep.
How are people? We banged on in the 90s, me on this radio station fairly endlessly a few times, about how everyone who was LGBTI ought to have a will. Because if you didn't, then maybe stuff was going where it didn't need to be. Have you not got a will, Tass?
I don't have a will.
Tass, you need to get a will still.
I'm happy for them to squabble after I've gone.
It's not pretty.
Well, the other...
I won't be here.
Well, the other issue when you will be here is if you don't have an advanced care plan, it's fine in that the legislation that exists now and the new legislation that will come in from March next year for people who can't make decisions and need decisions made, there's a hierarchy that's there. So in the absence of gay marriage, what we'll have is domestic partners who are able to make decisions for you. And that's fine. But most of us who have relationships don't have them registered because we didn't like that as an option. And we saw a lot of situations in the 90s where people's families, when they were dying with HIV, suddenly emerged out of the woodwork and started asserting a set of rights.
Appalling.
And so if something happened to you now and your partner was the decision maker, but the family turns up and says, no, we don't accept that he is, at a time that's incredibly stressful for you, you end up in VCAT.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the worst thing.
And people need to understand, Mike, you know, and you're pointing this out absolutely correctly, that you need to make these plans. Now, I can tell you people, there are a couple of things in life that are inevitable. One is death. The other is taxes. The other one that will ultimately be inevitable is marriage. But death and taxes, so you've got to plan for when you are going to fall off the perch. And what that means is the people that are left and the people that are with you, as you move to that point, you need to consider them, but you need to make it a little bit easier for them and a little bit easier for yourself. You don't want to be trying to think about how am I going to care for myself when it's all gone to hell in a handbasket. You want to think about it beforehand. And you need an organisation like yours to actually be part of that and to give you some resources and some knowledge to plan for that.
There's excellent resources around, and there'll be better ones from heading into March next year. But the interesting thing and the point that I would want to make for people is this is where you actually get a chance to decide what you want.
Yeah.
And what I'm worried about in the rollout that will happen and the publicity that will be around quite properly about people should have an advanced care plan is it oughtn't be like a breakfast menu in a motel.
No.
I tick that I do want resuscitation. I don't want to be peg-fed. Like a lot of this stuff, it's the discussion. I am quite happy to talk publicly and have done about doing an advanced care plan for my brother, who was diagnosed with a pretty rare kind of cancer, didn't want to talk about it, and then a week before he had the surgery said, I've changed my mind, I want an advanced care plan.
Yeah.
He's in Cairns, I'm in Melbourne. Thank God there's good communication.
Yes.
But his first thing in his advanced care plan is, when I'm dying, I do not want any rainforest music or whale songs.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And
that was my heart.
Yeah, that was his first thing that was there. On the form.
It would send you off quicker.
Absolutely. That's not on the form. You can write that sort of stuff in. He also said, I don't want to be cold. I'm in Cairns because I hate being cold. I don't want to be cold, if that's possible.
Yeah.
He then said some things about whether he wanted to be resuscitated.
Yeah.
But it lets you have a discussion with people about what's important to you. And that's where it starts.
Can I ask, does this have a legal basis? You talk about in March next year. So these sort of, I don't want to be resuscitated. Now,
at the moment, it doesn't.
Okay. So in March next year, it will? In Victoria or?
No, in Victoria.
In Victoria. Okay, this is really important because if you make these wishes and you make your views known, there's little point if they're actually not going to be carried out.
Up until now, hadn't been, but both parties before the last state election realised that the system was overly complicated and pretty broken and were committed to changing it, and bipartisan support for it, and it will now, you'll now be able to make those kinds of things, if you want to, enforceable.
Yeah. Is there enough capacity in the palliative care system for everyone that needs it to get it?
You've worked in lots of places in the community sector. The answer to that is always no.
Yeah.
We know repeatedly from surveys that around 70% of people say, given their druthers, all other things being equal, they want to die at home.
Yeah.
About 14% of people do.
Yeah.
To change that, and the new framework that the state government brought in last year is a really good framework, but how you operationalise that is going to need more support being put in to carers and to people at home, and that means beefing up volunteering as well.
Yeah, it does. Look, it's a hugely important issue, and you know, for some people, controversial. I just encourage people, if they want some information, Mike, what's the website to go to?
I'll leave you the websites.
Yep.
Ours is palcarevic, palcarevic.asn.au.
Yep.
But nationally now there's an advanced care planning website that came out of the work that the Austin was doing, which is just advancedcareplanning.org.au.
Cool.
And it, all else fails, Office of the Public Advocate's got good stuff on their website as well.
Mike, it's been a pleasure. Let's have you back in a few months, because I think this issue is one we need to delve into a little bit deeper. Don't need to be morbid about it, people. You know, think about it. Think about making it easier for yourself as you approach that exit point, and make it easier for the people you love and care about around you as you approach that exit point. Make it easier for them too. I think it's a really, really important issue.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.